What I want to talk about today is this is, as Peter said, this is episode 5 of Follow Me, and I've been asked to talk about community and fellowship. And so what I'm planning to do is to have a look at the idea. We all know what community is, but have a look at the idea of community and fellowship being just kind of one thing, if you like. And what there is in that, where it comes from, why it's important, and what there is in that for us. Let me pray. Bow your head with me, please. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your presence in this room today. Thank you for what you've already, the ways in which you've already blessed and challenged our hearts today. But as we move on to this idea of community and fellowship, I pray that each heart in the room, the eyes and ears of each heart in the room will be open to hear from you, open to understand, perhaps more learn something or be reminded of something about the importance of community in fellowship. So please bless me as I speak and bless the every ear in the room, so that when we go today, when we leave, we'll take with us something new, something precious that can change the way we live our lives. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess essentially we're like herd animals, aren't we? Our default position is to kind of, well, here we are. Our default position is to kind of group together and do things as a group. And you might not be surprised that the concept of community, if you like, in that sense, it's not a new idea. In fact, it could be rightly argued that we were predestined to be finding comfort in groups, designed to be community, because we were created by a God who lives in community himself. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We read in Genesis 1 when at the whatever your theology is, when God spoke and said, "Let us make man in our image," he made it quite clear that it wasn't just a single voice. There was a decision amongst community. And so from then on, we witness God working through the emergence of various types of communities. Initially, there were families, which then became tribes, which then often went on to become nations. And all of these were somewhat successful communities, as long as they worked together in harmony with God and with each other, to attain their common goals, which is an important element of Christian community. In the New Testament, we find God still working out his plans in and through this community model. Jesus, born into the tribe or community of Israel, eventually finds himself beginning full-time ministry and quickly gathers up and surrounds himself with 12 men to form what could reasonably be described as a community. A community originally consisting of himself and his disciples, but which, of course, continued to grow in number as others gathered and became followers and followed him. So the little community grew. But this model, if you like, this Jesus community model is particularly relevant and important to us, because we acknowledge Jesus not only as our Saviour and Lord, but also as our best example of how to live a God-centred life. In other words, any community that we're a part of, it needs to have that element of our God-centeredness being present in the way that community functions. You know, Christ-likeness is the Father's original design for every one of us. Jesus was our model of everything God, our Father, would like us to be. I suppose we could wonder why Jesus, who was fully God as well as fully man, needed any help in instituting this new covenant. But there was a design strategy involved, and that needed to include community. God wanted to do it through a group situation, because it's what we identify with. It's the way he's made us. The truth is, though, that Jesus needed the disciples. You've ever thought of that? Jesus needed the disciples. He needed them for friendship and fellowship. and encouragement. And of course, they needed Jesus for his wisdom, guidance, and divinity. Jesus needed the disciples. Remember, it was Jesus against the world when he began his ministry. Jesus against the government, if you like, of the Jewish religious institution. So having friendship, having support, close to you, people you could trust, you could bond with. Lisa managed to pray this morning, but I've written here that there were willing threads of interdependence from both sides that became knitted together into this robust little community. Remember, Jesus and his 12 disciples were building a model for us to copy, one that would become what we understand as a Christian community and how that community should look and function. A few weeks after Jesus had returned to heaven and the disciples had begun to understand what God's plan was, they began to publicly proclaim the good news of this covenant with confident boldness. We read about this dynamic development in Acts chapter 2, where the events on the day of Pentecost are recalled, and how an emboldened and Holy Spirit-filled Peter stood up and preached an amazing, profoundly pivotal sermon, declaring the divinity of Christ and the miracle of the coming of the Holy Spirit. If you want some homework to do, go home and try and place yourself in a situation where you don't really know the end of the story. You don't know about the Holy Spirit. You don't know about who Jesus was meant to be. As far as you're concerned, this guy came along. He preached a lot of really good stuff and I was really touched, but he's dead now. So see if you can imagine yourself in that position and then read Peter's sermon. Whoa, I'd love to be able to preach like that. Well, I would have, except that Eddie took most of my time. Oh, I've lost my page now. That'll teach me. In verse 41 from Acts chapter 2, on that very first day we read that some 3,000 souls were saved as a result of hearing his message. And the believers began to meet together and devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and the breaking of bread. Reading on in this chapter, we see extraordinary evidence of the arrival of this new community. It had never existed before. We understand what that is today because we know the end of the story. We're further on down the timeline. But people were freely selling their possessions and giving to the poor wherever need was, in a spirit of generosity, love, and joy. And I wondered, you know, perhaps it's reasonable to consider that this was the moment that this new covenant church, this new covenant Christian community, this was the time when it was born. Because that, what was happening at the beginning of Acts, that's, we're standing on the shoulders of that. That's what our fellowship here today essentially is based on, that. It's nice, I like it. Now, today you might consider yourself a fairly ordinary person. And if you ask my wife, she'll confirm that, you know, she's married to a reasonably ordinary person. And you might be wondering how you could possibly add value or colour to our community. And so let me assist you with an appropriate illustration from Scripture. And I pray again that you hear what the Bible says here. Perhaps one of the most helpful instructions of the function of Christian community can be found in 1 Corinthians 12. Here Paul goes into a great detail in describing how we, the community of Christ, when we're fully functional, when we're working well, so cleverly operates like the human body. Many of you will be familiar with this passage of scripture. It's lengthy, and I won't read the whole lot. But Paul talks about, you know, if you say that you're an eye, and everybody here says that they're an eye, where will the hearing be? Or if you say that you're a nose, where will the speaking be? That kind of an idea, that the body has many parts, and each part has a role to play. And when they do that, then the body works successfully. So verse 12 says, For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. And verse 24, the second part of verse 24 says, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honour to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together. Now you, that's us, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So there's this sense of individual. There are individual elements, but we can also be seen as a body. And this is a perfect analogy for a community. A community that has various people doing various things, when they work together, it functions. Now, you and I, hopefully, you as well as I, are part of this body that we call Sea Change. And Sea Change, of course, is part of a larger body, and that is the whole worldwide body of Christ. Do you know, I particularly like that second part of verse 24. Let me read it again. God has so composed the body, giving greater honour to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. What's Paul saying here? What's Scripture saying here? That when Gary comes on a first thing on a Sunday morning and puts out the chairs here, he's no less significant, no less valuable, no less anything than the anointed, famous preacher, minister guy that comes through the door and preaches a banger of a sermon. Because that's the way God sees us. In our eyes, there might be lesser and greater, but what God is saying is, if you like, we can't measure something as greater unless there's a lesser to compare it with. So the significance with both from a heavenly perspective is equal. There's no lesser part. I like it because it means that even the least of us, even the least of us is an honourable member, an honourable part, a worthwhile, significant part of the body of Christ, the community of Christ. Look, the reality is that we can and should be willing to bring the uniqueness of our character and gifts into the community and allow ourselves to be woven firmly into it. How wonderful it is that our Father in heaven, of our Father in heaven, that He would bestow this measure of grace upon us. In Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 23, we read this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, the Christian community worldwide, not just here in Australia, is constantly under attack on many fronts. And if we lose the enthusiasm to love and support one another, we're missing the very point of our existence as a Christian community. And we're falling short of God's expectations for what a Christian community is supposed to mean, what a Christian community is supposed to do. And sadly, just as a stray lamb that wanders from the flock is easy pickings for a hungry carnivore, so are we. If we drift too far away from where our flock is being watched, we become easier prey for Satan. We need to remain steadfast and faithful, woven into a strong community. It's the safest environment that we can possibly find without question. You know, whether we like it or not, we're in kind of like a spiritual tug of war. The community of Christ and its little outposts around the globe, fighting against the forces of spiritual darkness in the world around us. You know what a tug of war looks like. The long rope and people on either side. And if our team is stronger, what happens? What happens when our team is stronger? What happens to the people on the other team? They end up on our side, don't they? And so I have this sense that it's like a spiritual tug of war. And if we do what we do, as Sea Change, that's where we are today. If we do what we do well, then just by the model that we demonstrate, just by the people we are, just by the things that we do, we'll kind of be drawing, in a sense, we'll be winning that spiritual tug of war. Not necessarily for our specific benefit, but for the benefit of those on the other side. Together we're strong, but divided we're not. We all need each other. I need your encouragement. I need your affirmation and your love, just as importantly as you need mine. We need to be supporting each other spiritually, emotionally, and even physically where a need exists in order to be a community. Our goal as Sea Change, or any smaller group within Sea Change, it's not just to know and love God. It's also to be loved and be known by each other and to become people of love for God and our neighbour. It's a place where we're blessed, but it's a training ground for us to share. That's what this Christian community is supposed to look like and function like. We have a responsibility of maintaining our Sea Change community as a spiritual refuge or an oasis deep within enemy territory. Sad but true. Let me finish with this. I'm convinced in its purest form, the Christian community is a formidable force that has been turning people's lives right side up for more than 2,000 years, and we'll continue to do so in the future. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we understand the concept of community, but please help us to appreciate the value of Christian community and the potential that there is in that for those who are outside of this, who are lost, struggling outside of your kingdom, on the other end of the tug of war rope. And please, I pray as we go today that you would help us to have a fresh determination to be community minded, to be part of making Sea Change or the Christian community at large a more formidable force. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.